Welcome to In the Studio. I'm your host, Teresa, and I'm so glad you've joined us today. Our conversation is with Generations Church in Costa Mesa, lead pastor Ben Appleby. We're so grateful to have you in the studio today.
It's good to be here, T.
I'm so happy when you come because I get to have an open conversation that's honest and heartfelt. Mm. So today's topic is prayer, and we want to just kind of do a little deep dive, okay. Right?
I prayed once, so that's, yeah. We can do this.
All right, speaking of prayer, let's start with prayer. Want to lead us?
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus, for this time together. Yes. Lord, thank you for this medium of radio and podcast. Lord, we know that you can use all things. And so I just pray these words would be anointed, they'd be spirit-led, and you'd use them to just shape our hearts and just, even as we open the word, that it would pierce between bone and marrow, Lord. So thank you for these words being effective and falling on open ears and open hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Bone and marrow. I love that. I love bone marrow.
Different episode.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I think I didn't eat, so I'm hungry. That's probably what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. But there's this book called the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And
I read it one time.
I'm sure you read it like a few times. You can't pray my father if he isn't your father through your acceptance of Christ as your savior.
Mm.
True or false?
Yeah, I think definitely it's going to make a difference if your family. I mean, there's really mm-hmm. seems to be a delineation from the Gospels to the New Testament. If you're in this family, mm-hmm. you're right, sons and daughters of the Father. Otherwise, we're, you know, Paul says, like, sons and daughters of disobedience. So, yeah, I think it's going to have a totally different relevance for those who are sons and daughters. I think there's space for the non-believer to call out to God, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot of precedent for that too, mm-hmm. But that's maybe a different kind of prayer. It's like saving prayer or salvation prayer.
So if someone's listening right now and they're not saved, they don't know who Jesus is, and they want to do a prayer, how would one start? Like, where do they go?
Yeah, so my favorite text on this is Jeremiah 29. Everyone knows Jeremiah 29:11, but the verses that precede it are so important. First of all, the letter is written to a people who are in exile. Mm-hmm. So they are far from God. So mm-hmm. if you're listening, you're far from God. Heed the words from God to the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 29, where he says, if you call out for me, mm-hmm. I will hear you.
Yes.
If you search for me, I will be found by you. So that is such a pledge to the Father who always wants his children to come back to him.
Yeah, amen. So there's this other part of prayer,
mm-hmm.
like deliverance.
Yeah.
Do you believe in that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how does that work?
Yeah. So I think what I learned the last couple of years, not raised in the church that spoke about deliverance,
yeah.
right? The Lord showed us a really powerful picture, the Exodus, okay? Well, is Exodus just a one-time story we learn in kids' ministry? No, I think the Exodus is something God's doing continually as a progressive work in our hearts as believers. So here's the punchline. You can take the people out of Egypt, but it's harder to take the Egypt out of the people. So that's freedom and deliverance prayer, is crucifying the idols, crucifying the flesh, like it says in Colossians, undoing the works of Satan.
Mm.
That's in my opinion, inner healing deliverance prayer. And it's something that's a daily battle, not just a prayer counselor, not just a pastor. We may go to them to help us,
mm-hmm.
but I believe that's actually the everyday discipleship prayer we can pray for deliverance and freedom.
Yeah. There's so many different denominations, so many different types of prayer, so many different ways of how we process the word of God and consume it and
mm-hmm.
and the digestion of all that.
Right.
I do believe that, for example, you can cast out demons.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that type of deliverance and the way that they pray so authoritatively.
Yes.
I find that so fascinating.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening right now? That's right. So crazy.
Right.
But I understand we should be able to walk in that authority as
yes.
well as God's children.
Good.
And so there is this interesting thin line there,
mm-hmm.
but I get that perspective as well.
Yeah.
I think it's very cool.
Yeah.
I was reading something, ask, seek, knock,
mm-hmm.
something about the three imperatives in prayer.
Mm.
Have you heard of that?
I don't know specifically referring to, but I know the text.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I also know you have your own thing. Can you share that?
Yeah. So that's what I was referencing before about discipleship prayer or daily prayer. Mm-hmm. And it's really about exchanging the lies or the narratives or the attacks of the enemy mm-hmm. with the truth of the gospel. And so I just want to affirm what you said a second ago about deliverance and how a lot of us as Christians, when we're saved, mm-hmm. we then live our lives and we forget that we're a new creation in Christ.
Yes.
We forget that we have a new nature in Christ. Mm-hmm. So your identity in Christ, your position in Christ, and your authority in Christ is so primary for the believer.
Yes.
And how do we do that daily? And that's really what my wife and I, and even the ministry of the church, are trying to spread.
Yeah. I love the way that your church is growing so much. There's so much fruit there. Mm. You're doing obviously I can say a lot of things about different congregations and, mm-hmm. but there's so many people in this local community here in Costa Mesa that are really just feeling the word of God when they enter your church.
Yeah.
And, personal testimonies behind your backs, mm-hmm, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, praise God for that.
I love that. Yeah. They love going there. And there's some people new that are checking it out. And they're like, man, this church is so ... And I'm like, yeah, Pastor Ben, he's really cool. Mm-hmm. Not mentioning that you're my friend, but just that, yeah, he's really cool. You know, he loves Jesus, has a million children, mm-hmm. and really spends his time wisely. Mm. And don't ever say he's busy because he'll always make time for you.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I truly believe that. I won't say it unless I mean it. Mm-hmm. And I think you've been very intentional. Even me asking you to come in and talk about prayer, like some pastors will be like, that's boring. But you take every assignment given and you make time for it when it comes to Jesus. And I love that heart posture.
Thank you.
Tell me more.
Well, it's important because it's a daily battle. I think, you know, there's a couple names. I'll just, you know, I Give You Authority by Charles Craft is fundamental to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It's just a great intro to the authority we have. Mm-hmm. Neil T. Anderson is phenomenal. And what he says is that, what does spiritual warfare look like? Because we can't talk about this freedom or deliverance without talking about the enemy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so the Bible cover to cover is very clear. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Yeah. All right. And so he goes, the different attacks of the devil look like basically temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Many times we know when we're being tempted.
Okay, cool.
What
it's
can we
easy
do
to identify.
Yeah. And then accusation. Mm-hmm. Still, it's getting more gray.
But yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay, is that my voice? Is that the enemy's voice? Is that the friend's voice? You know, mm-hmm. so that can be harder to discern. And then the third one is deception. And that one, by definition, we can't know.
Yeah. Because it's deceptive.
Exactly. And so the verse, the anchor verse that the Lord showed my wife and I is James 1:20. And he says, renounce all filth and evil and welcome the good news you first received. So what do? We just took those two words mm-hmm. and they just jumped out at us. Renounce and welcome. Renounce and welcome. And that's the life of the believer, T.
Wow.
That's how we spend our time, hour over hour sometimes. When you get that suggestion or that temptation or that accusation, renounce it. And it's not just all defense. That's the thing we get messed up on. We think Christians are supposed to be running scared. No. It's not all defensive.
Yeah.
Look at the weapons from Ephesians 6. It's not all defensive. We have this offensive weapon, which is the word of God.
Amen.
That's the welcome piece.
That's right.
So how do we receive mm-hmm. the proclaimed and revealed word mm-hmm. into our hearts and our minds and our thought life?
I think reading the Bible helps.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely... the armor.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the word of God on your lips and tongue, how can you speak it?
Exactly.
Yeah. If it's not here in your mind, then you can't talk about it. And if you can't talk about it, then what tool or dare I say, what weapon would you use? I mean, my tongue can be very sharp.
Yep.
But that's not the word of God.
Yeah. So, and this is so cool because this is what makes Christianity so different.
Yeah.
This is not self-talk.
Yes.
This is not just another, thing we manifest or some good idea or some opinion, even from an influencer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between all of that and the word of God.
Yes.
Which was how we prayed.
Yeah.
It's sharper than a two-edged sword. So, when I was born and raised in the church, like we used to get all jaded and cynical about Bible memory verses, right? And we're like, well, why? And you can't know until you're grown up and they're like, okay, I need to have some serious weaponry here. And that's only come with maturity and time. My whole family going through the Bible cover to cover, and we use the Bible reading plan, and we do that 365 thing. We just listen to it.
Bible reading plan. I love that.
And it's like a lot of people get tired and because they couldn't do the physical reading it with the book. Okay, listen to it through the Bible app and just play it on your commute or you know, whenever you have your earbuds in, right? And that has hugely helped draw. In your time of need, you can draw now from that repetition, that experience.
So true.
The Word of God in your time of need.
Okay, that's so funny. What you just said right now is so true. And once I learned Jehovah Rapha, like the God who heals, I use it all the time now because I'm realizing that so many people need healing. And it's not just like a physical, it could be a mental, it's like so many areas of life that need healing. And I'm calling on Jehovah Rapha like all the time now. And imagine what other names I can use if I remembered them all. But I've made it one of my goals to start remembering those things because I find it to be a massive weapon. My friend went, you know, under, she was diagnosed with cancer and I prayed over her body like every single day that she was in the hospital. And I just, I was relentless and unapologetic and bold in front of people that were just like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't care what you think right now because I'm willing to look foolish just to save her.
That's good.
And I know that words like prayer helps because prayer heals because he hears our prayers. And so this is why prayer to me is so, so important because it can save lives. It can heal hearts. And it just, what it does to the soul on a daily basis when we're just like, oh my gosh, I'm having a hard day.
Yeah, absolutely. My buddy from church gets these freebies as a part of his business, and he brought me this water bottle and he imprinted one of our slogans on it. Prayer changes things.
Yes.
And that's what you're saying. And it's prayers of the faithful.
Yes.
It's prayers prayed in faith.
Yes, you know? 1,000%. You nailed it. It's not just like a wish list, like, dear God, please heal my friend. No, I'm saying like, in the name of Jesus, like, I am declaring that you will heal my friend from da 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 da, and you know, because I believe that he will.
And that's authority.
Yes.
You're talking about is real authority.
Yes.
And so we underrate that, and that's
really
something
do.
To be renounced.
Yeah.
You know, and something that's an unbelief to overcome.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just love how emphatic you're being about the authority we have, and the proclaimed words that we use that release power. They're not just opinion. They're not just someone's idea, but they come straight from the Word of God, and they're powerful and effective for making tangible change.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Yeah. Seriously, I can't imagine a life without prayer now.
Yeah.
Before, when you first met me, I don't know how many years ago, so we just won't even mention it, but a few years, I don't even know, but I didn't know how to pray. I didn't like to pray. I would go to the prayer walks, prayer meetings, prayer everything.
Right.
And I would feel so like fish out of water.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know how to pray. I don't like praying. I would tell Crystal, pray for me. I'd be like, Crystal, pray for me. You know, and she'd be like, okay. And she'd always say yes to that assignment. But then she'd be like, you know, you could pray too. I'm like, oh yeah, but you're better at it. I didn't know what I was saying when I said that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize the magnitude of fear that had came over me because I wanted to sound good and amazing and excellent. And I wanted to sound like a prayer warrior who knew exactly the words that needed to come out when they, you know, like everything, like fire. I wanted to be like fire, right?
Right.
And because I, that's how everybody else around, but granted, everyone else who was around me were prayer warriors and pastors and people leading and had been in church praying and practicing like a majority of their life. And here I come and I know the Our Father. I could do that for you all day long.
So that's where I was going to go. So I love that you're bringing up the vulnerability and the humility of like, I didn't know how to pray.
I didn't.
I was at a men's Bible study last night. That's what the guy said leaving. How do I start?
Like, yeah.
I don't know. The disciples are asking the same question in Matthew chapter 6. Do you think that they didn't have Bible verses? They did. They're good Jewish boys. They knew the Torah forward and back.
Yeah.
So why are they asking that question? Because they're just like me and you. And so I would just say to that listener, the person who's like, I don't know where to begin, or I don't know how to pray. Literally, Jesus answered that question here in Matthew 6. Yeah. And let's read it one more time, just because it's never going to be returning void. It's never going to be redundant or rote.
Yeah.
Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we ourselves have forgiven our debtors. And get this, here's spiritual warfare. Here's all those battles. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's all there.
Yeah.
You have kingdom bursting forth. You have surrender to his will. You have his daily bread, which is the prayer for anxiety or fear.
Yeah.
You're worried and troubled about tomorrow. This one day, our daily bread.
Yeah.
How many believers do you know, including me and you, who are battling with unforgiveness and bitterness and anger?
Hello, my name is Teresa.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, and people know.
And we can't go to them all the time.
No,
we may not be called to go to that person. They may be long dead.
And exactly. I mean, I don't have one of those. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for that.
Right.
That would hurt a little bit more. Sorry, being full transparent.
Yeah.
But yes, absolutely. And forgiveness actually is not for them. It's for us.
There you go.
Like, I wish people would know. Like, I'm not telling you to forgive them because they deserve it.
Right.
I'm telling you to forgive because once you do, you're going to feel so much better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what Matthew 6 tells us. You don't go to them, you go to God. So often we're looking to the person to heal it and fix it and make it better. They may be fundamentally unable to do that.
Yeah.
But when we go to God, we can get the healing and deliverance
and
freedom we need.
Absolutely. What version were you reading?
That's NET.
Oh,
it's a little different.
I was like, that's not how I see it.
It's not your King James.
Yeah. I think I might be because mine is, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Mm-hmm.
What version is that?
Yeah.
That's what I grew up reading.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But again, I grew up as a Catholic. So I find that Christianity allows me to really dig in my heart and soul and dive deeper to fight for a relationship I didn't know I wanted.
Yep.
Where before it was like, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's no questions and you're just going to follow.
Yeah.
This allows me to have real conversations and tangible evidence that he is real because I'm in constant communication.
Yeah.
So that prayer life again, right, is so different. And so I think submitting to that and being, I mean, surrendering everything, dying to yourself and all that, like, these are real hot topics.
Yeah, and it is a relationship. So that's another thing we have in common, Catholics and evangelicals, is like in both translations, it starts with our Father.
Yeah.
Which is a totally unique original idea for Jesus to go our Father, not our priest or our even Yahweh.
Yes.
He goes our Father. And so that means both of our traditions have an issue where we go, oh, is this some religious thing?
Yeah.
And we're making it religion instead of relationship. Mm-hmm. So that gets corrected right away, right here with the words of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's relationship.
Amen. That's so good.
Yeah.
I do not understand every time we come into the studio how time flies like so quickly.
It's crazy.
Like we have no time left.
I know.
What are you going to tell my listeners?
I just got to come back for more. So it's the cliffhanger.
Yep. Oh man, next month, what is going to be the word? You know what? I want you to pray on it for us. I have some ideas because I was praying on it last night. Just came. I was trying to rest and then, you know, God tapped my shoulder and was like, what's the word for next month? I was like, no, I'm resting right now. Mm. I'm not working. And he's like, yeah, but let's talk about it for a second. I was like, okay. So I was doing a little, you know, praying and thinking. And I'm like, well, there's these three words that keep coming, but I would love to hear what your thoughts are.
So I think you just answered it and what you just said, rest.
Yeah.
Here we are. We're about to enter into the season of summer.
Ooh.
And so Sabbath rest is something that we violate as believers.
1,000.
We're in total violation to our souls by refusing to rest. I'm not even talking about the week vacation or the exotic trip. I'm just talking about one day a week, 12 hours a week, or 6 hours, whatever you can do to begin in baby steps.
Yeah.
But to stop being in rebellion against the Sabbath, which is one of the top 10 that God says this is the governing law for all time. And so I don't know. I really love that for the season we're going into.
I love that you said that because I've literally been talking about it with a lot of people, and I have a colleague that refuses to work on Sundays, and I love that.
Yeah.
And because that friend does that, I decided to do it too.
Mm.
And so I have one more Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Because I committed to this before this revelation. But I have one more Sunday event. Mm-hmm. But after that, I told her, I'm going to follow in your footsteps. Mm. I'm not doing it too.
Love it.
And I love it too.
As a pastor working on Sundays, I'm telling you, I love it. Go for it.
Yeah.
I'm giving you permission. Go. Yeah. Take that day. That your struggle is just like everyone else's. Well, yeah. I have this hindrance. I have this obstacle.
Yes.
This is not the perfect day. Put your finger down
and
shut it all down. Turn it all off for the 1 24-hour period.
And I love that it doesn't have to be on Sunday for everyone because pastors do work on Sunday. So it's different for you. Like you probably do a Monday or a Friday.
Friday, Saturday. We do Friday, Saturday.
There
at our
you
house.
Go. Yep. So to me, I feel like it's really important to let our listeners know, like, hey, your Sabbath could look different because you work nights and weekends mm-hmm. or because you do this or this or this. A Sabbath doesn't mean Sunday.
Right.
Can you break that down real quick?
The word Sabbath, Sabbat, means stop.
Yes.
You're just creating a stopping ceremony. Yes. So it can be, you're dead right. It can be any period of time in your 7-day period that you just cease. You know, and you delight. It's not all just religion too. Oh, that means I can't. Dude, we're in a garden. The story of the Bible opens in a garden with 1,000 yeses and 1 no. Mm. So just think about that for your Sabbath time.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's probably some boundaries and some things that need to stop, but how am I going to churn from that and go to delight and rest and fun, have a great meal, have friends.
Yes.
Some people might even do work with their hands. That's life-giving.
Yeah.
So everyone can figure that out.
So good.
To themselves.
Any final words?
And I just think that I would invite people, right now the word I'm wrestling with is like listening, you know, in prayer. Oswald Chambers, right? The classic, the OG, you know, just goes, maybe I can listen more attentively still.
Wow.
And I just feel this conviction in my life where I'm going into critical moments or crucial conversations or a ministry opportunity. And because I'm moving so fast, because I don't have a lot of Sabbath rest, I'm rushing or I'm using my muscle memory to like kind of do the thing. When instead, if I slowed down long enough and I listened a little more attentively, I might not miss it, what the Holy Spirit wanted to do in that conversation, that moment. So I think that's critical is listening attentively.
I think that's actually really good. Mm. You're actually smart. Wow, good job, Pastor
Brad. By the grace of God.
By the grace of God. All that reading.
Yeah.
And your family just pouring into you and just learning all this stuff.
Yeah.
You're in great company.
Yeah.
I love that rest is the message you're giving while we're talking about prayer because it goes really hand in hand.
It does.
Because we should be praying when we're resting too.
Yep.
That sounds really good.
All right.
Yeah.
It's on the table.
I love it.
It's on the table for the next theme.
Okay. So here, that's your assignment, listeners. We're asking you to rest more and pray more.
Yep.
But not a wish list, guys.
Right.
We're asking you to pray heartfelt prayers with intention and purpose. And use the authority if you need to.
That's good.
Yeah?
Yep. Just remembering. That's remembrance, you know?
I love it. Oh, Pastor Ben Appleby. Lead pastor of Generations Church right here in the heart of Costa Mesa. We love having you. You're so amazing at what you do. Conversations are easy. And I just love the way you're growing the kingdom right now. Mm. Through the airwaves, in your church, with your family, at home. There's so much to do. And you're doing a lot of it.
Thank you, Teresa.
Yeah.
Love your heart for all that.
We love you. God bless you.
This has been In the Studio, a public affairs presentation of the Crawford Media Group. Please email us your comments, suggestions, and ideas to publicaffairs@crawfordbroadcasting.com. Again, that's publicaffairs@crawfordbroadcasting.com.